work. Before I start, I'm going to say the set-aside prayer. God, help me set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on your truth. Help me to carry the message today. Amen. A couple of housekeeping things. If you come Wednesday night, we're going to cover fear on the fourth step. That's where we are. And a very powerful exercise on that, which has changed my life. Yesterday, we did carry this message on step 10. If you can come on Saturday, I'm going to look at the spiritual axiom. Whenever we're disturbed, there's something wrong with us. And look at that and see how that applies to step 10 and how we can apply that in our program. We're going to be looking at the 12 and 12 on that information. Tonight, we're picking up where we left off several weeks ago. I hope I can do justice to the pages. I've been really, really tired. This thing took a lot out of me. But I think I did okay yesterday. At least nobody left early. And I went through the stuff that we're going to cover today, and I hope I can do justice to it. It's so powerful. It's we're covering pages 25 to 27. We're on There's a Solution. The last meeting we had, we looked, if you turn your book and turn to page 25, for those who are new, page 24 is the page before. And if you look at the two pages, Carla liked that. If you look at the two pages, you'll see the italics on page 24, which tells us that we're basically screwed. We have no defense against the first drink. Our power will never be able to keep us from drinking. And we have to find a power that gives us the choice to drink. And then the next page is There's a Solution. I don't know if they planned it the way it ended up in the book. I have the original book. I'll have to look and see if it worked out the same in the original book or not. But we looked at There's a Solution, these three paragraphs. And I'd like to review the last paragraph again, because I think it really is the whole deal. And it brings us into what we're going to read tonight, where we got the solution from. Roland Hazard went to Dr. Carl Jung in Switzerland and was told about the only hope he had for a chronic alcoholic. And so we got the solution for this problem from Dr. Jung, and the program we got from the Oxford group. And none of it was from alcoholics. And it says, if you are seriously, and the way this book is written, I read it a lot on my own, and I didn't get a lot out of it. Because it's written in a very interesting style. They'll give you a statement, and then the next statement explains the statement. And it's a very clever way of writing, but if you're just reading it, you could skip over a lot of it. And it says, if you're as seriously alcoholic as we were, so if you are as seriously alcoholic as they are, then they believe there's no middle-of-the-road solution. Maybe we should have some groups named middle-of-the-road group. I'm being funny, but it's serious. This is a fatal disease. There's no middle-of-the-road solution if you're as seriously alcoholic as they were. Now, you have to decide if you're as seriously alcoholic as they were. Now, how do you know how seriously alcoholic they were? Well, they tell you on the next line. We were in a position where life was becoming impossible. It doesn't say you couldn't live, but your life was becoming impossible. Notice the word impossible. You're still alive, but it's an impossible life. Anybody have that?
Yes.
And there are two conditions to the being seriously alcoholic. Your life had become impossible, which means you couldn't manage your life. It was impossible. And I had passed into the region. Notice you're passing into a region from which there is no return through human aid. Now that's how seriously alcoholic they were. Now if you don't have those two conditions, you can go to the middle of the road group. But if your life has become impossible and you've passed into the region from which there's no return through human aid, then there are only two alternatives. Now, a lot of people don't see that their life has become impossible, and they've passed through the region through which there's no return through human aid, and they try to do things that are human aid driven. There's nothing wrong with that. But that won't provide the solution, because the next few pages are going to talk about someone who had this condition, who went to the greatest medical mind of the time, and he could not help him. And he said the help has to come from a spiritual solution. So it says, if you're in this, you have only two solutions. You can go into the bitter end. Now, if your life has become impossible and you're going to go into the bitter end, you'd have to blot out the consciousness of your intolerable situation. You'd have to blot it out. Just keep going on as best you could, or you're going to accept spiritual help. So it's a very simple solution, simple choices. There really is no other way. You go into the bitter end if your life's impossible and you've passed through human aid, region where human aid won't help, or you accept spiritual help. Now, the spiritual help they're talking about is perfect spiritual help. We don't want half spiritual help. We want perfect spiritual help. And the perfect spiritual help is from that who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. And we just chanted, we could and would if he were sought. So we become God seekers because we've passed through the region where there's no human aid and our life is impossible. Now, if you don't think your life is impossible and you don't believe you've passed into the region where there's no human aid, you're not going to do this. You're not going to do the steps. And you're not going to seek God. So I think it's a gift when you can see this. Now, we read tonight that they're constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves, right? And there are those who cannot and will not do this. Some people cannot and will not do it. They refuse. They cannot see the truth that their life is impossible as they've living it, and there's no solution to it, and they can't see that they've passed to the point where there's no human aid. They still have a plan. Now, if you're new and you still have a plan, I suggest you ditch it. Whatever it is, ditch it, because it's not going to work. If it's my plan, it got me here, got me a wristband, and my plan will never work. And in fact, if I had paid better attention to the instructions that were given me, maybe I would have done better, like my sponsor pointed out to me in the car, if I'd listened, but you know how we are. So anyway, we're not going to get into that tonight. All right, now here's the condition. It says, accept spiritual help. Now look what they say. I wrote here, there's no third door. There's only two doors in AA. There are only two alternatives to face. Remember, an alcoholic death or live on a spiritual basis. Now, you may have a disease that you don't need a spiritual experience to conquer. You may be a hard drinker. You may just be a mess. We don't know. I don't know what's wrong with you. But if you have a disease that only a spiritual experience can conquer, you might want to read on. Now, how do you know if you have a spiritual disease that only a spiritual experience will conquer? That's a good question. Well, try everything else. And if nothing works, come here and do this. Now, this book is for people who don't want the middle of the road. They can't do the middle of the road. They're dying. So this book is written for desperate people. Now, I'm just going to read the next line. It says, this we did because we honestly wanted to and were willing to make the effort. Do you honestly want to get spiritually help? And are you willing to take the effort? Now, what makes you honestly want to do that and willing to get the effort? Your life is impossible. And you've passed through the point where you've tried everything and nothing works. Now, let's turn to page 28, which we're going to come back to, but I want to read this line, this paragraph. Because the next two pages are going to describe someone who was seriously alcoholic as they were, and he couldn't have a middle-of-the-road solution. And we're going to read that, but we're going to go to the conclusion. So if you have seriously alcoholic as they were, and if your life is impossible, and you've tried everything, and nothing works. It says, we sought the same escape with all the desperation of drowning men. Now, we quote that a lot, but do you have that? Do you have the desperation of a drowning man to escape from what? An impossible life, a situation from which there's nothing you can do to fix it. And it says, what first seemed a flimsy reed has proved to be the loving and powerful hand of God. You come in here, you're desperate. You ask for help. We give you a number. We tell you to come early. We call you. You call us. We give you a book. That's a flimsy reed, but over time, as you work the steps and with your sponsor, you go through the book, it becomes the loving, powerful hand of God. Isn't that something? Now, that's a promise. If you stick your hand out and you grab the flimsy reed, it'll become the loving and powerful hand of God. And here's what you get in AA. You don't get more money. You get a new life. Now, who wants a new life? If your life's impossible, you want a new one. Who wants to hold on to their old life? Anybody come in here and say, I love the way my life's going. I just need a few more dollars. A new life has been giving you, or if I'm feeling better tonight, I can tell. Or if you prefer, a design for living that really works. Now, I had a design for living that didn't work at all. Now, what's implied here is it's a design for living that's not your design. And then they're going to show you in the rest of the book what the design of living is. See how it's laid out? So now let's go back to page 26. And we're going to read about Roland Hazard and how we got the solution from Dr. Young. There's a lot of powerful stuff in here. And I hope that was helpful. That paragraph, I saw a lot more out of that than I've seen. And I've read it a million times. It says, a certain American businessman had ability, good sense, and high character. Do you believe that? He did. He had his own ability. He had his own good sense and his own high character. But when you do a four-step and you look at your life, you look at your abilities and your good sense and your high character and you shake your head, right? Yeah, remember, common sense becomes uncommon sense. What we used to think was good sense, we don't trust anymore. And we had ability to run our lives into the ground. And the character was not the character of the person God created. Anybody agree with that? For years, he had floundered. Floundered is not good, by the way. From one sanitarium to another. Now, this was a very wealthy man. I think they were from Providence, Rhode Island. They were shipping magnates in those days. They built all the ships, and he was in New York, and he could not stay sober. And he floundered. He had consulted the best-known American psychiatrist, so he went to human power. Makes sense, right? Your life's a mess. You go to the best doctors. Then he went to Europe, placing himself in the care of a celebrated physician who prescribed for him. Now, what's wrong with that? Anybody see what's wrong with that? Why that's not going to work? He's placing himself in the care of a human being and not God. Now, in AA, we start out with sponsors and people guiding us and messengers, and I had plenty, and God bless them. But we really want to place ourselves in God's hands. These people that God sends to us are people to guide us to God. The flimsy reed becomes the loving and powerful hand of God. So there's nothing wrong with it because he didn't realize that his wife was impossible and he had passed beyond the point of human aid. He still thought he had human aids going to help him, right? Though experience had made him skeptical because he did it before, he finished his treatment with unusual confidence. He had a treatment prescribed for him. Now, I'm going to give you a hint. There's a treatment prescribed for you if you're seriously alcoholic as they were. And it's in this book. And we read it tonight. It's the 12 steps. It's the program of recovery. AA has no other treatment. Now, I'm not saying other treatment won't work for you. I have no opinion on it. But if nothing else works, you might want to try the treatment in this book. This book is a testimony of what they did, and it's specific directions on what they did so you can do it, and then you have the result. AA is not telling you to do anything. AA just says, if your life's an effing mess, you may want to try this. And if you do, come back and tell us how it worked. And that's what we're really supposed to do, so the new people want to do it. And he finished his treatment with unusual confidence. I think confidence is dangerous for an alcoholic. If it's confidence in me, I need confidence in God. When I start getting confidence in me, I'm in trouble. Anybody start their day and they tell God, I've got this one? Yeah, how does that work for you? His physical and mental condition were unusually good. He's doing great. He's been doing push-ups and running and meditating. And above all, he believed he had acquired such a profound knowledge of the inner workings of his mind and its hidden springs that relapse was unthinkable. They should read this at every treatment center. He had acquired from who? Who did he acquire this from? From himself. He had a profound knowledge of the inner workings of his mind. And its hidden springs that relapse was unthinkable. He had it all. He knew when the certain time was coming, right? And he was going to have a defense against the drink. He understood himself so much. And he was confident in himself. Now, self-knowledge is never going to be the solution. It's knowledge of what? God. And knowledge of God in AA means an awareness of God, a trust in God, a relationship with God. The flimsy reed becomes the loving and powerful hand. You rely on it. You trust in it. So he had the profound knowledge, hidden springs. He's drunk in a short time. Now, I've heard a lot of stories that, you know, he made it to Paris and got drunk in Paris. I heard he made it on the train from Zurich across the Switzerland border and got drunk. Who knows? But something told him, even with this profound knowledge of the inner workings of his mind and all the triggers, he had a whole trigger list he carried around with him. He drank. Is he a real alcoholic? He had passed beyond the point of human aid. More baffling, he could give no satisfactory explanation for his fall. So he returned to the doctor whom he admired, and that was good, because if he didn't go back to the doctor, we might not be here tonight. And he asked him point blank why he could not recover. Now, why couldn't he recover? Because he can't do it. He has no power within him to recover. As soon as you come here and you start thinking you're going to recover and you're going to get this and you're going to be a take care of this, you're in danger. My only choice today is to seek God all day long. And he gives me the choice. He wished above all things to regain self-control. Remember, selfishness, self-centered is the root of our problem, right? It says it's going to kill us. It says we must be rid of it. Anybody remember that? Anybody agree with that? Who makes it possible? God. He can never do it. He can never regain self-control. He seemed quite rational and well-balanced with respect to other problems, which may not be true. Who knows? Yet he had no control whatever over alcohol. Why was this? Why did he have no control over alcohol? Alcohol had power over him, right? He's powerless over alcohol. He has no power in his life over alcohol. He has no God in his life. Alcohol has power over me, right? I have no power over it, but God has power over alcohol, so I need God in my life. As long as I'm connected to God, I will recoil from a hot flame. Where does it say that? Page 85. When we're in fit spiritual condition, we've worked the steps, we're in the world of the Spirit. We recoil from a hot flame. Now, did anybody here, was anybody here a flame tester? Anybody like to keep putting their hand in the flame? It's insane, wasn't it? Well, you're never going to be able to keep from putting your hand in the flame on your own. He begged the doctor to tell him the whole truth, and he got it. And it's tough, because I dealt with some bad things in my medical practice, and it's hard to give the whole truth without hope. In the doctor's judgment, he was utterly hopeless. Why? Why is he utterly hopeless? Because he has no power that can fix him. There's no human power that can help him. We read that tonight, right? And his life is impossible. He can't manage it. So he's hopeless. Now, if you're utterly hopeless, you may want to grab that flimsy reed, right? You may want to seek spiritual help. Now, the book is written now for you to read it and understand the hopelessness of your situation. Everybody here, we've been to meetings, they've read this before. But when you're reading this for the first time, it's designed to show you your hopelessness. Because there was no AA. There were three groups. There were 60 or 70 people sober when this book was written. And it says he would have to never regain his position, have to place himself under lock and key or hire a bodyguard. They used to put us in asylums to keep us from hurting ourselves. He expected to live long. This was a great physician's opinion. But the man still lives. Isn't that powerful? Now, this was in 1932 or 3, where he went to Switzerland. And Bill W. met Ebbie Thatcher in 1934. Ebbie went to the Oxford group, where this man, Roland Hazard, took him, saved him from going to the asylum in New York. He does not need a bodyguard, nor is he confined. He can go anywhere in this earth where other free men may go without disaster. Does that sound good? Now, here's the warning. There's always a warning in his writing. You can go anywhere you want, provided you remain willing to maintain a certain simple attitude. Does that sound good? Well, what is the simple attitude? What's the certain simple attitude that you want to have each day? I wrote, God is my director. I seek him in all things. Without him, I am nothing. I'm lost. It all starts with God. And if I keep that attitude, then my days are good. And we were looking at step 10 and 11, which is how we try to stay connected to God all the time when we branch off like we do all day long. Now here, some of our alcoholic readers, notice the warning, may think they could do without spiritual help. Well, they're middle of the roaders, right? And you hear it all the time. Oh, I don't need to do all this. This is too much. You know, I don't need God. I don't want to hear about God, blah, blah, blah. So here's the rest of the conversation. Why do you think they put that in there? Because they know how we talk. The doctor said, you have the mind of a chronic alcoholic. I have never seen one single case recover where that state of mind existed to the extent that it does in you. So what does a mind of a chronic alcoholic look like? Well, they've just described it in the first 25 pages. The mind of a chronic alcoholic cannot keep from putting his hand in the flame. The mind of a chronic alcoholic cannot keep from taking the first drink sober. The mind of a chronic alcoholic is someone who cannot live sober and control their emotions so that they don't have to drink. Do we have any chronic alcoholics in here? Any minds? You don't want to have a mind of a chronic alcoholic. That's a hint. You want to have a new mind, a new creation. And when you look at the recovered promises on pages 84 and 85, it tells you that you will recoil from alcohols from a hot flame. The problem has been removed. It doesn't exist. And that's what happens when you're in fit spiritual condition. So if you have a mind of a chronic alcoholic, I suggest you do all the work to get up to page 84 and 85. It's just, God, you could pick it up. I think you could probably read it in one night. And I suggest you do it with somebody, because when you get into the world of the Spirit, you finish steps 4 through 9, you don't have the mind of a chronic alcoholic anymore. And then we treat our mind of a chronic alcoholic all day long in steps 10 and 11. We inventory our thinking all day long, and we pray and meditate to improve our conscious contact with God and knowledge of His will for us. You see how it works? So he didn't think that was good when Roland heard that. He said to the doctors, there are no exception. Reminds me, W.C. Fields was reading the Bible on his deathbed. And they asked him why. He says, I'm looking for loopholes. See, alcoholics always want to know the exception. The doctor, and here's where we got the solution. The humility of this doctor at this point, he went to the right person, said to him, there is. Exceptions to cases such as yours have been occurring since early times. Here and there, once in a while, alcoholics have had what are called vital spiritual experiences. Vital means necessary for life, a spiritual experience. And he said these are phenomena that can't be explained. And what does a vital spiritual experience look like? It's a nature of a huge emotional displacement and rearrangement. Something's changed. People have been here long enough. Some of you, you've seen somebody come in. Their first meeting, they're crying, they're a mess, their life's a mess. They celebrate a year, they look different, don't they? There's something's happened to these people. They've worked the steps. You can see it. I'm looking at Julie. I can see it in her eyes. I can see the change. And because there's been a huge emotional displacement, rearrangement. Now, what does that look like? He's going to tell you. The ideas, emotions, and attitudes, which were the guiding forces of my life, are suddenly cast aside. And a completely new set of conceptions and motives begin to dominate them. Now, here's the key to that statement. It was my ideas, my emotions, and my attitudes which got me here. And they were the guiding forces of my life. It says in We Agnostics, the fundamental idea of God is deep down inside of all of us, but we obscure it by what? Pomp, calamity, and worship of other things. And I block God out through my old ideas, my emotions, and my attitude. And what happens? I have to cast them aside. Does that sound like let go of your old ideas? Absolutely. Are the results nil? Now, how do you cast aside your ideas, emotions, and attitudes? You do steps 4 and 5. You look at your ideas, emotions, and attitudes that define your life, and you see how they were blocking you from God. You want to face and be rid of them. It's not that complicated. And what are the new conceptions and motives which dominate them? God's motives, God's ideas, God's will for me. See how it's so well written? I hadn't really seen it this way before. In fact, I've been trying to produce such emotional rearrangement within you. He was trying to do it, but he didn't have the power. With many, and the steps are how we change our ideas, emotions, and attitudes, and we cast them aside through the action of the 12 steps. I don't know any other way to do it for me. In fact, I've been trying to produce some such emotional rearrangement within you. With many individuals, the methods which I employed are successful. But I've been never successful with an alcoholic of your description. Why? Because he had passed beyond the point of human aid. He had no power over alcohol. His life was impossible. So if people get here early enough, they may just be able to quit. But I don't know. It's not the point. The point is, where are you when you come here? Where are you and what do you need? What's your truth? So Roland thought this was great because he had been a church member. This hope, however, was destroyed by the doctors telling him that while his religious convictions were very good, in his case, they did not spell the necessary vital spiritual experience. And I wrote, convictions without actions, the results nil. And remember, we have to be willing to change, believe we can change, decide to change, act to change, and then we have faith and trust. And the necessary vital experience, he went to the Oxford group, Roland, and he worked their steps. They had 6 steps. We have 12 steps. And we're here today. Anybody find that pretty powerful? And then here was the terrible dilemma in which F. Men found himself when he had the extraordinary experience, which we have already told you made him a free man. And then I read that thing about the drowning men. And next week I'll pick up with the last 2 pages of this, and then we'll start into more about alcoholism. I hope this was helpful. Thank you. Thank you so much.